In this edition of Global Print, I'm going to talk to you about Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Nepal that took place earlier this week. Now, he was just there for a few hours. He went in the morning at about 10:30 and returned the same afternoon. So you might want to ask me, dear viewers, so what's the big deal about that? I mean, Nepal is such a close neighbor of India. Almost every Indian, especially from the north, has visited Nepal one time or another in his or her life. So what's the big deal if the PM goes to Nepal? I mean, this is his fifth visit since he became Prime Minister in 2014. But before I answer that question and talk to you about the importance of the visit of Prime Minister Modi, let me make an appeal to you, dear viewer. I do hope you have subscribed to the Prince YouTube channel by now. It's very little money, rupees 159 only. And you will help us, of course, as you have these last several months of the pandemic. And since you will get special benefits and privileges that non-subscribers don't get. So all you have to do is to click on the join button, pay rupees 159 and become a subscriber. All of us at the Print believe in the best journalism without fear or favor. So we would hope that you would like to support this kind of journalism. Now, back to my column, Global Print, which was published on the Print's website earlier this week, in which I talk about Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Nepal. Now, this is not just another visit, and the reason it's not just another visit is because, first of all, the PM didn't go to Kathmandu, which is the capital of Nepal, we all know that. But he went to the Terai, to a place called Lumbini, and all of you, of course, also know where Lumbini is and why it's so significant. It is the birthplace of Lord Buddha, of Gautama Buddha. And why Lumbini, which is in the Terai, is so significant is because it's just a few kilometers north of the India-Nepal border. And that's an open border, as you know, which means that both Indians and Nepalis can cross that border. You don't need a visa to cross it. You can go back and forth. And a lot of people do that. Some people just work in Nepal and live in India. They marry in each other's countries. It's called the Roti Beti Ka Rishta, which is such a beautiful way of describing this very old historical, cultural, and very, very special relationship between India and Nepal. Now, you know, there are lots of other problems in the India-Nepal relationship to do, especially with sovereignty issues a few years ago when Prime Minister KP Oli was in power. He's no longer the Prime Minister. Sher Bahadur Deoba is the Prime Minister. So when Oli was in power, there was a problem because the Nepali government at the time, led by Mr. Oli, decided that they would claim certain territory, which India also claims. It's the tripartite junction between Lipu Lake, Kalapani, and Limpiadhura. That's in the north. And this time around, Prime Minister Modi went to Terai, which is in the deep south of Nepal, adjacent to the Indian states of Uttar Pradesh and Bihar. None of these prickly issues came up because this time around, Prime Minister Modi was going for very specific reasons. The first is that he was going to inaugurate the Indian Center of Buddhist Culture and Heritage. Now, India is the only country in Lumbini which did not have a center. There are lots of other countries like the US, China, Thailand, France, Germany. All these countries already have Buddhist centers or Buddhist pilgrimage places. So what happens is that when pilgrims from those countries come here to pay their deepest respects, to pay obeisance at the birthplace of the Buddha, they can stay at these places. But India, where the Buddha's journey takes place, where most of his life is spent in India, and at the time when the Buddha was born more than 2,500 years ago, of course, the map of India and Nepal was very, very different. So Lumbini, which is in Nepal today, was at the time said to be part of India. But I'm not going to go into antiquity right now because I want to talk about the PM's visit today and the importance of this visit. So he went to inaugurate this Indian cultural center, a Buddhist cultural center, so that when Indian pilgrims go there, when Buddhist pilgrims go there, they can stay there and they can sort of pray there, because this is in the core Lumbini area, which is around the palace where Siddharth, or Prince Siddharth, once lived, and he became, as we all know, he became the Buddha. Now, what is also interesting, and you know, you will note, you've noticed these last several years since the Prime Minister has been in power, is that he pays a lot of importance to symbolism. So usually he likes to wear a white churidar kurta, but this time around he was wearing a yellow colored kurta. Now you would think, why is that significant? So let me tell you why that's significant. It is said, and this is one of those myths that have survived the pages of history, is that Siddharth, Prince Siddharth, the young prince who goes out in search of the meaning of life, when he left his palace, he was clad just in a simple white garment. But over the months and years, as he wandered around looking for the meaning of truth, the meaning of life and death and existence, the rain and the sun and all the other elements bleached that simple white colored garment, and it became a yellowish or the color of wheat. So Prime Minister Modi wearing also a yellow kurta, the symbol being that he is also a disciple of the Buddha, like a wannabe, a Buddhist monk who is going to pray at the feet of the Lord and the Master. And of course, he prays there at the Mayadevi temple. And what the Prime Minister says is very significant. Now, this is not just a wannabe Buddhist disciple. He says that the Buddha was above all geopolitical boundaries. Now, what exactly does the Prime Minister mean when he says that? And these are very significant words that he uses. And let me try and explain to you what I think what is going on. Now, for several years, the Chinese have been expanding their footprint, their sphere of influence, as you all know. For the last 2 years, they have been perched on the line of actual control in Ladakh. Indian troops are holding them off. And while they're not eyeball to eyeball, they're very close to each other. So the Chinese are there in Ladakh. For the last several years, they have tried to expand their influence in Sri Lanka, in the Maldives, so right across the southern Indian Ocean. In Bangladesh, as you know, when Xi Jinping went to Bangladesh in 2016, he cut a check for $26 billion. And also in Nepal, they have, through the communist parties of Nepal, tried to expand their influence into this country. But because India and Nepal have such a strong relationship, they have been tied together at the navel and at various other body parts. For a long time, India was very defensive and didn't know how to handle this Chinese expansionary foreign policy. But slowly, I think India has recovered its mojo. And none other than Prime Minister Modi, by walking into the Terai, by going into Lumbini, by saying that India will establish a Buddhist cultural center, that the Buddha is and was a very much an Indian figure, although he was born in Nepal, and establishing the fact that India has as much claim on the Buddha as Nepal does, certainly, but also China. Now, remember that the only God, China is an atheist country, of course, but the only God that the Chinese or the Chinese people revere is the Buddha. They call him different names in the Chinese language. But actually, what they do revere, and the God that they revere very, very deeply and respect and pay a lot of attention to, is there's just one God, and that's the Buddha. In fact, China in Mandarin, in the Mandarin language, is known as the Western Heaven. While Chinese, of course, call themselves the Middle Kingdom, India is known as the Western Heaven. So Prime Minister Modi walking into the Terai, and note what he does. He doesn't take a flight to the Gautama Buddha International Airport at Bhairava, which coincidentally was inaugurated on the same day that the Prime Minister went to Lumbini. Now, guess what? This Bhairava Airport the Gautama Buddha International Airport, by the way, Nepal's only second international airport, is built by a Chinese company. It took them 10 long years to build at a cost of 40 billion Nepali rupees. But no, the Prime Minister did not land at the Bhairava Airport, and then he drove from there. What he did do was that there were four helipads specially built for the Prime Minister's chopper to land in Lumbini. So he took off from Kushinagar, which is the site of Buddha's Mahaparinirvana, which is when he took samadhi or faded away or passed away. And so he took off from Kushinagar and landed in Lumbini directly, signaling that India is as much willing to play the big game or the great game in the Terai as the Chinese are. Now, China several years ago offered that they would make Lumbini a world peace city. They said that they would invest as much as $3 billion into Lumbini. That offer is certainly an attractive one to the Nepalese, which of course is a poor country. And that would have put Lumbini right on the international map. Now, India has said, has made no comment on that offer. I don't think India likes it very much. But what is interesting is that the Indian government or Prime Minister Modi has decided that India will face up to the Chinese. It will not allow itself to roll over, to get marginalized, to be scared, to be afraid by the Chinese, by the fact that the Chinese economy is five times larger than India's, that it's able to spend much more money and therefore expand its sphere of influence, especially in India's neighborhood. India believes that South Asia is part of its own sphere of influence and certainly does not like countries like China to invade its own sphere of influence. So this silent rivalry between India and China has been quite evident, actually, these last few years across all of South Asia. We saw that in the Maldives. We see it in Sri Lanka. But I think what India is doing in Sri Lanka is quite a bit of a masterstroke. It is helping that country stay afloat. Every day is a new day in Sri Lanka. It's barely going under. But India has helped out sending fuel, food, medicines, hoping to alleviate the shortage that the people of Sri Lanka are undergoing on a daily basis. So just like Sri Lanka, where India has decided that it will fight for its sphere of influence, for its own footprint in South Asia, Nepal is the next big story. And this is happening via the footprint of the Buddha. Now, India is determined to integrate a Buddhist circuit between India and Nepal, between Lumbini and the other various Buddhist sites, whether it's Bodh Gaya or Kushinagar or Shravasti. These are all places where the Buddha traveled and where he taught his disciples, where he gave lessons to his disciples. So this is actually a very short visit by the Prime Minister to Nepal, but a very fascinating visit, because what it signals is, or what it demonstrates or showcases, is that India is not averse to using its soft power to expand its own influence, but also to come up against another powerful power and to take on that power face on or frontally. So I will be watching this space, of course, and telling you what's happening in the region and abroad. But notice that Prime Minister Modi's visit to Nepal is actually one of the more interesting initiatives of India's foreign policy. Thank you so much for reading my column, Global Print. And those of you who haven't, I would encourage you to do so. And do let me know what you think about this video. Thanks again for watching.